It's time to present your research. Have you recently conducted a research or evidence-based practice project with preliminary results? Then present your study at NAN's 17th Annual Research Summit. Held virtually from April 12th through the 13th, 2022, select participants will have the opportunity to discuss their findings with neonatal nurses from all around the country. Research Summit participants are also guided by a mentor to support continued research and publication. There is even a chance to present your research at NAN's 38th Annual Conference in Las Vegas, Nevada, with complimentary registration. Don't miss this opportunity to show off your research findings to your neonatal peers. Learn more at nan.org/research. Hello, and welcome to NANcast. I'm Jill, your host. Tiffany and I are back with another episode in our research series discussing a multidisciplinary team-based approach to research. Joining us today are Dr. Janine Craig and Dr. Sue Hall. Dr. Janine Craig is an occupational therapist, certified neonatal therapist, as well as the program director for the Infant and Early Childhood Development Program at Fielding Graduate University. For many years, Janine served as CEO of Family Infant Connections, a multidisciplinary NICU consulting practice. Over the past number of years, Janine has worked among other professional organizations emphasizing both intra-professional and transdisciplinary practice as an essential role of the neonatal therapist. She currently serves on the board of directors for the National Perinatal Association. Dr. Sue Hall recently retired from the clinical practice of neonatology after 30 years. Dr. Hall has authored over 30 publications in the neonatal literature, including research studies, many of them in collaboration with nurses. After first leading a working group that led to the publication of the Interdisciplinary Recommendations for Psychosocial Support of NICU Parents in December 2015, she is now spending all of her time working with My Perinatal Network to create continuing education programs for perinatal clinicians on the topic of using trauma-informed care to promote the mental health of patients and their families. There is so much wisdom to share here, so we are going to just get right into it. Hi, ladies. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, everyone. It's Tiffany Moore, and I'm so excited for this episode. I've invited a couple of my colleagues, Dr. Janine Craig and Dr. Sue Hall. I've worked with them on a couple of research projects, and so we really thought it'd be a great idea to bring them to one of the NANcast nursing science episodes and just kind of talk about the importance of interdisciplinary research and how teams function and work and just all the amazing things that these ladies have done for our NICU babies.
So the primary purpose of this episode is to explore how interdisciplinary teams function, how they can be successful, and how research is an important variable. So we invited both Sue and Janine here to talk about your experiences with interprofessional practice in the NICU. So you guys have put together a really successful education opportunity for multidisciplinary NICU staff. Can you spend some time today discussing with us how you went about setting that up and what are your thoughts on how important it is to have interprofessional growth in our research and our practice?
Well, I'll take a first jab at it. And I just want to start by saying that interprofessional practice goes beyond multidisciplinary or even interdisciplinary practice to include patients and families in the generation of practice parameters. So the stakeholders are involved in creating the types of practice that are being discussed. So we, Janine and I and Tiffany, have worked on the staff education project through the auspices of the National Perinatal Association. And these developed actually from the Interdisciplinary Guidelines for Psychosocial Support in the NICU that we had previously worked on. So we had six main topics that we wanted to gather an interprofessional group together to talk about and make some recommendations of standards. And these topics were family-centered developmental care, peer-to-peer support, mental health professionals in the NICU, palliative care and bereavement, follow-up support, and then staff education and support. So in January of 2014, this has been a long process to get to staff education, which began in January 2014, when we got together a group of about 50 thought leaders and stakeholders from a variety of different professional organizations, a variety of academic medical centers and hospitals, a variety of states across the U.S. And we came together with a common purpose of improving the level of psychosocial support provided to NICU parents, as well as improving training and support for those who provide care in NICUs, meaning us, the professional caregivers. We had this one-day conference. We had, of course, done a lot of pre-work leading up to that. We outlined our recommendations and then continued to sort of finesse and massage them for a few more months leading up to their publication in December 2015 in a supplement to the Journal of Perinatology. And as we worked together on this, our goal was to see the transformation of NICU culture from people working in silos, nurses working in nursing, doctors working in neonatology, occupational therapists doing their thing, to everybody working together with a common understanding of what the other person does for the team. And as well, we knew that NICU culture couldn't really be changed from the top down. We knew that a nursing administrator, for example, would have a really tough time coming in and saying, we're changing the culture and it's going to be this way. So we felt it was very important to involve all of these disciplines and to sort of identify leaders and champions in each of the disciplines who could kind of be a spokesperson within their own discipline for the changes that we were going to be trying to implement. So Janine, why don't you pick up there?
Sure. You know, I think that part of the challenge and the beauty is that some of us are new to NICU work, and many of us have been doing this for a long, long time. You know, I know personally, I just hit my 40th year of practice, which I don't really realize until I walk in front of a mirror and then I realize, yes, I've been there for 40 years. So so I think whether we've been doing this for 4 months or for 40 years, there are certain things that we really know for sure. First and foremost, we are there for the babies and the families, period. But what we also know is that this is extraordinarily hard work. You know, I think there is such intrinsic reward in watching a family leave our unit. You know, with that parent, with the parent going with the baby, and we know that we're sending them off as that dyad. And our goal is always in serving best practice and outcomes. However, what we also know is that this work is complex. It requires presence of thought and energy, which is really difficult. It can be very emotionally and physically exhausting, and I dare say today it is that way every single day probably. And it requires a really high level of multiple different skills. And so to that end, when the team was working on the psychosocial guidelines, we really wanted to have a holistic approach to patient care, you know, really where everyone on the clinical and administrative team were in sync. So, you know, hopefully that kind of touches on that first question.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. If you haven't been a part of this project or seen these guidelines, it's so important. Like, you know, we ask families how they're doing and we give moms, you know, surveys on postpartum depression. And then what do we do with that information? I feel like sometimes as staff, we're not equipped. And so what you guys put together really helps equip all NICU staff with you know, taking care of the family holistically. So such important work. And can you mention like who all the different disciplines that you worked with? And I loved, Sue, that you mentioned families, as I know that was a big piece of having parent representation, and they should be on all research teams.
Right. We had families from the Preemie Parent Alliance, now known as the NICU Parent Network. And we've had parents working on every team of every project, you know, since we began this. We had physicians, neonatologists, obstetricians, neonatal nurse practitioners, bedside nurses, social workers, NICU psychologists, occupational therapists. I don't know if we had physical and speech therapists, but the OTs did a good job representing for that whole discipline. And we had some, you know, academicians and researchers who really didn't do that much clinical care guiding us as well.
And so what do you, Janine, what do you think would have been missed if it wouldn't have been such a broad, all these different disciplines, you know, who were represented? How do you think this project would have been different?
Oh, golly. It again, would just facilitate a kind of a one line of thinking approach that just would further kind of the hard things that we've been trying to change over the last numbers of decades. You know, at the very essential, I think if just, for example, just nurses did this, or just neonatologists did this, or just neonatal therapists did this, what we would miss is really that elemental family-centered developmental care piece, the keeping the focus on the prize, which is really about the babies, right? Sue, as Sue mentioned a little bit earlier, we wanted it to not just be about one discipline and not just about top down. And Sue is, I mean, she is a remarkable example of how collaborative leadership really wins the prize every time. Expanding on our collective work by bringing our individual professional lens and core scope of practice, and then really making us more unified and holistic. And I've mentioned the prize a couple of times, but, you know, the prize for me and for all of us is really having a healthier work environment for us, quality neuroprotective care for our babies, and work that really facilitates attachment between the parent and the infant. So I think that's really just really critical. And I think, Sue, do you want to talk a little bit about how we came to have the staff education project, because the guidelines in the project were a little bit different?
First, I want to just sort of give an example of interdisciplinary, interprofessional collaboration. So if we take kind of a very simple, straightforward example of parents doing kangaroo care with their babies, skin to skin. And let's say the neonatologist reads an article that this is a good thing to do. And the neonatologist tells the nurse that we're going to do this. And the occupational therapist maybe is in the NICU and maybe says, yeah, that's a good idea. But the nurse is like, I got all these other things to do. I don't really want to do that. And how am I going to transfer the baby? And who's going to help me? So we have to have nurses. We just absolutely have to have nurses involved with everyone so that the team together can come up with a solution to how are we going to facilitate this desirable thing to be done. Another sort of simple example, and Janine, you can weigh in on this if you want to, but feeding issues for babies is always a huge issue in the NICU, and let's face it, occupational therapists, physical therapists, speech language pathologists have their tricks of the trade, their education, their awareness that they bring to it, and then nurses have maybe their own tried and true way from 10, 20, 30, 40 years of practice. And so if we're all in our own silos, the occupational therapist comes to the bedside, you know, twice a week and says, do it this way. but you've got 10 different nurses rotating with that baby through the rest of the week, doing their own thing and not really educated about what the occupational therapist wants to do, then the 30 minutes the occupational therapist spends with the baby is not going to be worth that much, so to speak, because everybody else is undoing it. So if people coordinate on the care of the baby and talk to each other and develop protocols together, it's going to work better.
As a bedside nurse, I can attest to everything you said more. Janine mentioned one line of thinking, and I think we sort of as nurses kind of tunnel vision, and we just have our thoughts and our energy set on the baby, and we don't think about all the resources that we have to help. And, you know, you said kangaroo care is great, but, oh, I have so much else to do. But there's other support people that you can work with that can help you. And, you know, we really do need to be unified. And also as a night shift bedside nurse, I cannot stress the collaborative efforts of having a great relationship with our therapist and our respiratory care and social work. And, you know, all of the tips and stuff that they leave for us in their notes at the bedside, we love that. And that really helps to make sure that I'm doing the same care as someone on the day shift, and I'm teaching the parents the same thing that's getting taught to them, because that's what's going to have the best outcomes. If we have consistency, we have that family-centered care. So, you know, I love when I'm collaborating and we have that ability with other disciplines, and we're not just working in our own little silo.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one thing that I have appreciated working with both Sue and Janine is how they respect everybody's expertise. So, you know, Sue is a neonatologist, and actually she's a very well-known, well-renowned neonatologist, but she will listen to, you know, to our perspective as a bedside nurse, or my perspective as a nurse scientist, or Janine's perspective as OT. And she won't just say my way or the highway. And that's such important, you know, so important to think like that when we're working on teams and, you know, trying to better care. We all want a better care, but we have to remember that our, that, you know, there's experts in every field. And so really to keep our ears open and our minds open to what others have to say. And I think that's why really Sue and Janine, your projects have been just so successful.
Yeah, you know, I'm holding in my mind's eye right now a unit, Tiffany, that I believe has it right. They do it well. And it's the people and their decision to work together as a team that make the difference. And it's really why I believe that it's the best place to be if you're going to be a NICU baby or a parent or a staff member, all of the three. Yet, you know, part of our struggle is that when you think about that one hospital that's got it right, in the bigger scheme of the system that they're in, they're all alone in that level of quality NICU work. And so, you know, we have to ask ourselves, what is it that makes them stand out? At the very foundation, for me, it's about the nurses. And it's about the neonatologists. They and I've said this for a long, long time with them, and this is true certainly of Sue. But you know, they're by far the greatest group of nurses and doctors that I've ever had the pleasure to work with, and I've worked all over the country. And why is it that? Because they are sold out to babies and families and to self care. They take care of themselves as staff, and they're sold out to taking care of babies and families. And so, you know, I think that that just speaks to the value add of having the multidisciplinary and interprofessional lens that, that Sue was talking about to begin with, and really speaks to what our goals were about building the this education course and having more of that multi-perspective lens, if you will. RNs, nurses, like, you're the frontline person. You're the ones that can identify the good things as well as the bad things, and you're the kind of the principal sounding board, right? And we literally can't do what we're doing without you. So, I mean, that's amazing. And not but, we suggest as a team that we cannot offer our best work without the collaboration as a team. So, You know, I think about respiratory therapists. They are a critical colleague in our work together. And, you know, one of the goals of our work as a team has been around elevating mental health practitioners in the unit. So psychologists, social workers, they're essential to best outcomes. And so we strive to more fully integrate mental health professionals in NICU care, not only on the patient side, but also for us as caregivers. And so if I can just segue just for a second about neonatal therapists, just because it's my thing, and then I'm going to pass this off to Sue. Kind of a fun fact. Did you know that occupational therapy started out as a mental health profession? That's kind of a cool
thing. No.
You know, in terms of the essential contribution of neonatal therapists, which, you know, for your audience who don't maybe perhaps know, those are occupational therapists, physical therapists, and speech language pathologists. We each come from our own core scope of practice, meaning that the goals that we're writing for each of our babies and families are going to appear a little bit different based on our individual discipline. But we have core foundational knowledge that's really meant not only to serve our babies and families, but also to serve nurses and physicians kind of in partnership and care. So from our perspective, the things that we can assist with are really adding to neuroprotective outcomes related to, for example, setting up the environment, the support of the sensory system, affording better neurobehavioral competencies of the infant, development and age-related developmental competencies of things like an infant's neuromotor and muscular skeletal systems, best practice supporting outcomes related to oral feeding and swallowing, like Sue was talking about, and then also non-pharmacological pain and stress management, to name a few. Because I can tell you this, I'm never starting an IV on somebody. So I need the nurses there to do the work that you're doing so that I can come alongside you and support in the outcomes that we all strive for, right?
I love that, Janine. Thank you. And, you know, I think I got us off track because I want you guys to tell us how you got from the guidelines to the staff education course.
Before I start with that, I just want to say that another goal of our work together, both with the interdisciplinary guidelines and the staff education, was communicating the need for everyone on the team to have the family as their patient instead of just the baby. We really wanted to expand everyone's concept of who they're taking care of. Because if you think about the old days, Janine said she'd worked for 40 years, so she'll remember these old days. When we got a baby in the NICU and the doctors would say to the mom, go home, rest up, we'll take care of your baby, we'll call you when the baby's ready to go home. And this led to families not being engaged, not being involved, not knowing their babies, not knowing how to care for their babies, not having bonded. So we really want to involve the whole family right from the very moment of birth and even before, so that they are a healthy and mentally healthy family when the baby goes home to them. So having said that, the question was about how did we get from the guidelines for psychosocial support to staff education? Well, we went around the country, the work group, and as I mentioned, we had people from every discipline in the work group. So Janine would go to the NANT conference, and I would go to the neonatology conference, and the nurses would go to the NAN conference or the AWAN conference, and we would all talk about this work that we did together, and people uniformly would say, well, these are really great recommendations. I don't know how many we had, 60 or 70, like a lot. And people would say, but how do we do this? So that brought us to the need for staff education. And of course, we had staff education as one of our important points in the project all the way along, because we can't just say involve the families, we can't just say screen them for depression, we can't just say recognize their feelings without showing and telling people how they can actually do this at the bedside. So we decided to turn each of our content areas from the guidelines into a course that would be part of a larger program. So the program is called Caring for Babies. It has now 7 courses that cover each of these areas, as we mentioned: family-centered developmental care, discharge planning, and so on. And we tried to have, again, someone from each discipline, each professional discipline, on the team writing the content or reviewing the content for that module, as we call it. And in addition, of course, we had parents. And a very important part of our educational program is that we surveyed NICU parents, NICU parent graduates, for their experiences and included their stories in our educational program to highlight and emphasize the points that we were trying to get across. So the people who are involved in the NICU parent network, they have a saying that I really think is right on, which is, nothing about us without us. In other words, don't you guys go figuring out how you should treat us without talking to us and asking us what we need and what we want. So including parent stories, both audio and written, is a way for us to communicate to nurses and doctors and respiratory therapists, anyone who takes our courses, how what we do affects the parents. We have examples of good interventions, and we have examples of interventions or, you know, conversations that people remember years and years later that weren't so helpful. That's how the education came to be. It took us a year to sort of translate the content in the recommendations into courses, and then we launched our educational program in 2018. And since that time, we have had about 1,000 courses per year. People have taken over 1,000 courses per year. And the way we think is best for our program to be used is for the entire NICU staff to take the course at the same time, so there can be this culture shift amongst everyone. Like, it's really great if an individual nurse or psychologist or anyone wants to take these courses and learn, especially about how trauma-informed care can be applied to both the infant and the family. But one person on a staff of 50, 100, 150 nurses, doctors, whatever, can make a difference at the bedside, but think of how many times that's multiplied if the whole staff takes it at the same time and talks about it and uses it as ideas for performance improvement. So when we talk about performance improvement, I don't know if we're quite ready to move on into more research stuff, but performance improvement is a great way to get into research projects. So, Janine, I know you wanted to say something about the development of the education as well.
Yeah, and I think, Sue, to your point about needing to and wanting, desiring to train the whole unit together, it just brings to mind, you know, something particular for me. I think part of the challenge that we all face is that in our cognitive self, we know what the evidence shows, right? Yet putting that into action is often met with so many different kinds of barriers. Most of the time, those barriers are people. They're the human beings that we're working with, right? And I think that all of us can think of that person, hopefully not persons, but likely persons, that when they come on shift or on service, that the entire atmosphere of the unit shifts, right? And some units deal with this to a greater degree than others. You know, people not really understanding the why we're doing what we're doing or the how. And I think it's really important to remember that not only do the parents become more stressed by that person or persons, but we as staff also. So everything has a shift. We can feel it. So in part, you know, the goal of the staff education course was Sue's mention of having everybody in the unit changed at the same time was really to help kind of cross-pollinate across people in each unit. Also, cross-pollinate across hospital systems and across the United States. And to keep us all a little more connected, again, for the why we're doing what we're doing. And then the education course is really about kind of the how. And again, I think that's probably one of the biggest take-home messages for me. And I think also, you know, when we sometimes where things go awry, which again, the course helps us to think interprofessionally, is from my memory and my experiences have been these turf wars about tasks. I mean, do y'all have these turf wars mm-hmm. about who's doing what? Like, mm-hmm. does nursing or respiratory do suctioning, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I ask myself, why does two-person care feel like an imposition to one person, and yet for the other person, it's received as it's intended? And so the goal for all of us in our energy and our effort around education and communication is to get us all in one way of thinking. And how do I use you and partner with you as an expert in like giving that IV, as I mentioned before, and allow me to come alongside with just, you know, my practice area, the neuroprotective, neurodevelopmental work that I do. So I think the work that we do is complex. It's multifaceted, and none of us can do it by ourselves. It really requires coordination of care. And, you know, babies and families win when there's great teamwork. And importantly, we also win as professional caregivers. So that's probably what I would just add to that last question.
You know, I am hoping that, so the listeners are mostly nurses, I think we can assume, but not necessarily, but since it's sponsored through NAN, I think, you know, most of the listeners are nurses. So in your experiences with, first of all, research ideas or QI, quality improvement ideas, and then implementation, or even if you need to recruit families, how important is it that the bedside nurses and the nurse practitioners are involved?
Yeah, so I think as both Sue and I have mentioned earlier, I mean, nurses are elemental to patient care, period. Your voice is critical. And what's clear is that additional research is needed in our collective perinatal space about so many interrelated topics. And I feel pretty certain that if we polled each other, we would come up with a list of things that we'd like each other to know about, and we ourselves would like to know about the work that we do, about the work that you do, the parts of the job that bring us both joy as well as stress. You know, how does your work as a nurse in mother baby connect to your colleagues in the NICU and vice versa? So, you know, I think as a researcher, I believe that there's value in each of us attending to evidence-based practice, regardless if you're a researcher or not. I mean, we don't all have to do clinical trials, but there are small ways that we can engage in raising our work to best practice. You know, one of the examples that comes to mind is perhaps, you know, nursing partnering with the NICU Psychologist Network. You know, also like looking for people with overlapping interests. When we're in the unit together, Sue tipped into this just a little bit, can we work to do a small investigation about something that we want to elevate to others? Work with a neonatologist on something. You know, work with people that have been publishing in the area and expand their work.
Yeah, I was mentioning that quality improvement is a great way to start getting a feeling for how to do research. And as we've reiterated many times, nurses are obviously stakeholders in how the NICU functions. And nurses are the closest to the patient. So they have the opportunity to see what's happening, how it's happening. They're the primary workhorses in the NICU. So a neonatologist can't come along and say, well, we're going to improve this problem by doing X, Y, and Z if it doesn't fit into the nurse's workflow. So a nurse has to be involved to say what the workflow is and to strategize and think outside the box of how that workflow can be changed if it needs be. So things like how do we improve hand hygiene compliance? How do we cut down on medication errors? How do we lower rates of nosocomial infection? Again, those can't be top-down kind of projects. They have to have nurses on them, not only to help describe and understand what the workflow process is, but to help on the buy-in. Because if we're going to ask nurses to do anything to change their processes and their workflow, they have to want to do it. They have to understand why they're doing it. They have to see the end result and how it's going to benefit the babies and families that they care for. So I hope that every nurse everywhere takes the opportunity to be on a quality improvement team in their NICU at some time or another during their career, because it's hugely valuable. I've been hearing about quality improvement, quality assurance. I mean, we've had lots of names for this over the years. And at first I thought, oh man, this is just a bureaucratic requirement that we're supposed to be doing A, B, and C. But I really, after years of participating in it and taking it seriously, I'm a total believer in the value of it. And I think it can lead into other kinds of research projects. So let's take the example again of cutting down nosocomial infections. We might have a quality improvement project that uses a different kind of cleansing agent to clean central lines. And we might see some progress with that. And then that might lead us into a randomized controlled trial where we say, well, let's see if that's really better than what we were using before. And let's randomize babies. We're going to put this group with the new cleansing agent and this group with the old cleansing agent. And there you have a research study that could be quite valuable to practitioners all over the country. So I think too that it's just fun. I'm one of those people who thinks that thinking is fun. So thinking about different ways to do things and how to improve and brainstorming or talking with your colleagues about different ideas, it brings me pleasure and delight. And I hope that it brings everyone else pleasure and delight as well.
Oh, I'm totally a research nerd, Sue. Like you know that. I love
language.
Well, I can't thank you guys enough for coming on to this episode and really, you know, just sharing your thoughts and your experiences and your projects. And, you know, I've really enjoyed working with you. And again, I think it's because we all see things differently. Not only are you fantastic people, but you're also, you know, different thinkers than I am. And I think that's why everything has been so successful. Jill, I feel like this has been, you know, one of the best episodes. And I think it's because it's, you know, more than just nurses on here.
Yep. It's inspiring. It's inspiring to know that the support that you have and the resources and the different ideas that they bring to the table. And every nurse sits around and thinks of, why do we do it this way? We should do it this way. Or why are we struggling with this? And, you know, go out there and do stuff and make change. And as Sue mentioned, I think it's contagious. When one project, quality improvement project, works on a unit and we see those outcomes, I think it inspires other nurses and lights that fire to say, okay, we've tackled this. What else can we fix? And I think that that's something that if you have a really good program and everybody works together as a team, collaborates, and there's respect amongst the different you know, different teams, I think that that's really has the ability to let research flourish on that unit and quality improvement and, you know, to increase those outcomes.
Yeah. And research is transformational. And at the end of the day, we need to know why we do what we do. In our heart, we know what we're trying to do. And research is that transformational opportunity to just put a period at the end of the sentence about why we do what we do and how we get it done. So
I love that. That should be, I'm going to put that in my office. I'm going to put a poster of that whole phrase.
Well, thank you all so much for inviting us. I know that it's been a real joy to Tiffany reconnect again with you, and Jill to meet you, and for us to be able to, you know, be in the space together.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for joining us. You know, your work is very inspiring, and the impact that you have had on our babies and our families and even the staff is, you know, invaluable. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
There is so much to cover within the realm of research, and the conversation can't end here. To keep the discussion going, make sure you subscribe to NANcast so you'll never miss an episode of our research series. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks for your support and letting us into your ears. Have a great day.